Guess what today is? Yeah, it's IP version 6 day. Some large internet service providers, hardware manufacturers, software publishers, and online companies like Facebook are testing the next generation of internet protocol IP version 6. They want to make sure the new plumbing works. The federal government is under a mandate to adopt IP version 6, but progress has been slow. Joining us to explain it all is Tim Winters, Senior Manager of the Interoperability Laboratory at the University of New Hampshire. Mr. Winters, good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about World IPv6 Day. What's going on today?
So today is essentially an experiment in turning on IPv6 on very large and major websites to see how it's going to work, what things we might run into. Also, you know, how many people could use it today? How many people, if we turn it on, will have the ability to use V6, and we'll get some statistics out of that.
Will the rest of us be able to tell when you turn it on?
Hopefully not. If we've done our job, you shouldn't notice any difference. You know, most users will be unaffected. There are a percentage, it's less than a percentage point, of internet users that might be broken, and they're what we're trying to find. And then when we find them, we can figure out what the issue might be.
Are some of the large users of this that are participating today, are any federal agencies involved here?
Yeah, there were definitely some federal agencies that signed up and participated, and their participation is turning on their website to do V6 so that they can get statistics. In a lot of cases, for agencies, you know, they're going to turn it on to see how their IPv6 traffic flows, right? So that, you know, load balancers that are in front of websites that keep it so that a server doesn't get overloaded, you know, they want to make sure that works for V6 too. So there's a bunch of functionality that they can test today too. It's an easy way. Everyone's paying attention to IPv6 today. So you'll know if something breaks, and then you can go and fix it before you really go to roll out IPv6 on a permanent basis.
It's an interesting way of putting it. You said that there might be a small percentage of folks who might be broken. What does that mean? What would they see?
So what they'll see, if you're a home user and you type in, you know, Facebook.com or Google.com or whatever agencies are participating, go to their website, it'll look like it hangs. So it'll, your screen, your web browser will be blank is the best way I can describe it. And then after about 30 seconds or a minute, depending on your operating system, it will all of a sudden come up. And what's happening there is it's trying IPv6 and failing and then going back to IPv4. And that's the kind of people we want to find because they have broken IPv6. If you're not doing V6, you won't notice any difference. But the problem is there are broken implementations of IPv6 out there, and that'll be the problem.
So do computers that might have been bought in the last couple of years or maybe the last few months that people use, would they have IP version 6 compatibility inside them?
Yes, anything, you know, most operating systems that have been bought in the last between 3 and 5 years support IPv6 natively. But usually it's not the operating system that's the problem. It's usually something in between the operating system and the website. So it's the home router that you're using that you bought from Target. It's the providers. Could be a provider issue, but it's other stuff, not necessarily just your computer. It's everything between you and the website.
Now, your lab has done a lot of testing, and I guess you're coming out with a logo that people can put on their product saying, yes, we are okay when it comes to IP version 6?
Yeah, we started that. Some of the operators came to us and said that they were having trouble with those home routers, the ones that you buy and put into your house, and they were having trouble getting them to use IPv6 in the proper manner. So we created a program for them so that people can know, and we put a list up for today, really, so people can go, look, if the home router's your problem, when you have a problem, there's a website, test-ipv6.com. That will tell you what your problem is. And if it says the problem's your router, we created a list of routers that we know work. So
now, what are the federal agencies that are participating? Can you tell us who they are?
They have a list. It's, I think, the Office of Business and Management definitely was participating, and I think there were a couple of others. But the list is very, very large, so I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. But there was a good portion of them participating. I think the Veterans Administration also did, the VA, and I think some other organizations that have been very progressive about V6. So the government did have a pretty good showing for turning on websites for V6. Is that that's part of a mandate they also have for September of 2012 is to have externally facing websites have IPv6 support. So for a lot of them, this was their chance to try it out before the mandate comes around for them.
So is it also a good sign that that list was very, very large? It means a lot of different organizations are participating, and there should be a nice, smooth, seamless transition, not too many hiccups?
We hope so, yeah. I mean, clearly there's tons of websites out there. So in the scheme of things, it's probably not as high participation as some people wanted. But I thought it was a very good start. And it gets, at least at minimum, it's getting people, like, you know, to talk about it, to think about it, and to think how they're going to do V6 and have their services be IPv6 accessible.
So, by the way, we're talking with Tim Winters, Senior Manager for the University of New Hampshire Interoperability Laboratory and one of the experts on IPv version 6. What will the operators of these websites be monitoring and watching for, and what kind of data will they get back?
Well, the kind of data we want to collect from them is, you know, how many users are using V6, right? We want to know how many people could use V6 today, so that's a really important statistic. Other things I sort of mentioned, you know, security is a big one. They want to make sure that the V6 traffic is coming the way they want it to. Obviously it could come from a different direction, and they want to make sure they have everything secure. And then I talked a little bit about load balancing, where that's where they want to make sure that it's going, again, to the right server and not all going to the same place. So for them, a lot of this is health checks on making sure that the stuff that they've deployed for IPv6 will act similarly or the way that they want to V4.
The whole reason behind this is the concept that we're running out of or have run out of web addresses. Yeah. But let's talk about it from a security standpoint, too, because there are a lot of gizmos and gadgets and mandates that are coming out involving that, including the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, NSTIC, things like that.
Yep. So, I mean, V6 is very different than V4 from the perspective of IPv4 was made in the 70s and slowly grew, where IPv6 is very different. We have a billion or so devices on networks. It's a lot more complicated, and people are making a lot more money, so you can't have it break or have time to fix these issues. So a lot of the programs and testing needs to be done because it's just a different world than it was when IPv4 was created. IPv6 definitely, there's going to be hiccups. There's going to be, you know, calling it more or less secure isn't, it's not necessarily more, it was designed to be more secure than IPv4, but because it's new, you're going to run into inherent security issues. And some of these things we're just not going to discover until we deploy IPv6, and we'll have an idea of what the potential attacks are. And that's what V6 World Day is about. It's about putting out V6 so we can help discover some of these issues so we can close down some of these holes if they exist.
So it sounds like this is not just a matter for the CIO and the techie staff, but it's something that high-level federal managers really should all worry about, because ultimately, it affects their ability to deliver the services via the web to the public.
Yes, that's definitely one of the things. I mean, people all the time ask me, I've been working on V6 for the last 10 years. One of the common questions I get is, you know, why move to V6? Like, well, what's going to be the thing that makes everyone move? And the answer is you're going to run out of V4 addresses. In the end, that's just what it turned into, is that we're going to run out of V4 addresses. All the solutions that continue to extend that complicate things. So the best solution is to move to V6. And when new networks are, you know, we're getting new networks all the time, these LTE mobile networks, these users at some point are going to be V6 only, and then you're going to lose users. And that's the thing. You know, so you want to start to be thinking about this now. You don't want to be trying to solve this when it's a problem.
And I wanted to ask you about the relevance of this to the trusted identities, the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, the NSTIC. It talks all about this ecosystem of products and services to ID people using something besides old-fashioned username and passwords.
Right.
And it sounds like IP version 6 on devices and at sites that you log into will be necessary for the NSTIC to be realized.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the underpinning of a program like that, because IPv6 gives users the ability. I mean, we have enough addresses that everything can have its own address, and you can do end-to-end connectivity, which can then be secure. So IPv6 definitely is a step in the right direction for deploying a program like that. It's definitely the underpinning and probably would be necessary to fully deploy a program like that.
So is it safe to say that as we speak at 8:16 Eastern Standard Time, these tests and monitorings are going on now?
Yes, they started last night, and they're going on right now, and we're trying to collect as much data as we can.
And then what happens? When is it over, and when will we get the results?
It'll end 24 hours, so it's GMT time, so it ends. It's a 24-hour period. But the big thing there is, you know, some websites will keep it up. I suspect the major ones will pull it back down because of the broken users. We're going to do it for 24 hours, and then we're going to get all these statistics and see what we can find out.
And just final question, have any of the sites, say, on the commercial side, I know Facebook has been a big pusher of this whole test.
Yep.
Did they put any special offers or any special enticements to try to goose traffic today to really get a good, solid test?
No, I mean, for them, they get so much traffic on a regular basis, it's not – That really wasn't their point. But what they did do, which was nice, is they each have different ways of showing you if you're using IPv6. So Google has its own way of showing that, and Facebook has added its own methodology. I won't give it away, so go see.
All right.
Okay, we can do that. And looking forward, IPv6, let's say the dust is settled and everybody's all taken care of with IPv6. Are we already looking at IPv7?
I hope not.
Okay.
To be honest, I think, you know, the difference in address space was, you know, the current V4 fits in a golf ball. All the addresses, you take all the addresses that existed in the old protocol that fit in a golf ball, and V6 fits in the sun, to give you the comparison.
So we're covered for a while.
Yeah, that's the idea. I hope that I'm not doing this again anytime soon.
Well, I think to run out, we'd have to go to devices that are the sub-molecular level to run out of addresses.
Yeah, we made enough this time, so hopefully we won't be rehashing.
We'll let the space invaders worry about that one.
Tim Winters is senior manager of the Interoperability Laboratory at the University of New Hampshire. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.